Father God, what a privilege and honor it is to gather together in your name and in your presence to give you glory and honor. Lord, we come to meet you, to know you, to love you more. So Lord, we ask that as we come, you would meet us here in this place, that you would speak to us, that Lord, you would give me the words to speak, not my words, but your words, and that you would be glorified and honored and exalted in this place, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We tend to be a society that puts a lot of faith and trust in our eyes, in what we're able to see. I'm guessing most of us at some point in time have either thought or said, I'll believe it when I see it. As if we can trust our eyes with everything. I'm not sure why we trust our eyes with everything, why we think that we can trust what we see, because I can think of several times my eyes have failed me. One in particular still haunts me to this day. When I was younger, my parents owned a convenience store. There's, like, Kim's Convenience, the show, for those who watch it, comes from somewhere. Koreans of my generation, our parents all owned convenience stores, and we all had to work in the store. And I was working in the store one day, and this lady came in, brought some stuff up to the counter, and I rang it through, and I charged her, and I begged it for her, and gave it back, and thought she'd leave, but she just stood there, standing there looking at me. And so I was like, okay, maybe I'll start a conversation with her. So I looked her up and down, and her belly was sticking out a little bit. So I thought, oh, I was young. I was still in high school. So I was like, so when are you due? I'm pretty sure my eyes saw that she looked pregnant. And she's like, looked at me and like, grabbed her stuff and like, I'm not pregnant, and stormed out the door. And I was like, okay. I've learned I can't trust my eyes with everything. I can't trust what I see. Yet I think there's a tendency for most of us to think that we can trust our eyes, that we won't believe until we see it, and that seeing leads to believing. But on the road to Emmaus, for these two followers of Jesus, we see that seeing obviously does not lead to believing. Belief doesn't come from seeing. We're a week removed from Resurrection Sunday, but in our passage, it's the same day that Jesus has been resurrected. And two followers of Jesus were walking to a village called Emmaus. And as they're walking, they're talking about everything that's happened the past few days. Jesus being taken away, treated like a criminal, beat and crucified, and word that Jesus was risen, the tomb was empty. And as they're walking and talking about what has been happening, Jesus comes up alongside them and walks with them. And he says to them, in verse 17 says, he asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? The two were sad, but surprised. In verse 18 says, one of them named Cleopas asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? They're surprised that the stranger doesn't know what's been going on, has no idea what's been happening in Jerusalem. But what should surprise us is that these two have no idea who they're talking to. It's safe to assume that they were some sort of followers of Jesus. Maybe not as close as the 12, but not just someone who doesn't really care, not just someone who maybe heard about Jesus or listened to him teach or preach or saw some of his miracles. But these are people who followed Jesus. That's why the second half of verse 17 says, they stood still, their faces downcast. As they're talking about what has happened, as they're thinking about what's happened the past few days, their faces are downcast, they're saddened, because the one they thought was the Messiah, as far as they know, is still dead. The events of the past few days had hit them hard, and while they may not have been as close as the 12 disciples, they had to have been somewhat close. They knew what Jesus taught and had done. And they said in verse 19, he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. And they knew what those closest to Jesus had seen since Jesus' death. That's why verse 22, they say, in addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. They were close enough to know the 12 and to know the women and to have been there when the women said that the tomb is empty and that an angel appeared to them. So these aren't guys who are just kind of in the distance following along because they thought it would be cool to follow a guy named Jesus. These are guys who really believed that Jesus was going to be their Messiah and their Savior. They were pretty close followers of Jesus. Yet they have no idea who it is they're talking to. They have no idea who it is they are looking eye to eye, talking with, and walking with. There goes the idea that seeing is believing. There goes the idea that if we see it, we can believe it. Because if seeing really was believing, these two should have believed as soon as Jesus came up beside them. They see him with their very own eyes. They hear him with their very own ears. He's walking and talking with them. Yet they still have no idea who he is. Seeing isn't believing. We might like to think that seeing is believing. We might like to think that if we have a sign, that will show us or that will make us believe. We might like to think that if we get a sign from God, that that will remove all our doubts. But the disciples and those who followed Jesus saw sign after sign after sign, and yet they still had trouble believing. These followers saw Jesus in the flesh after he was resurrected, right beside them. They were probably closer to Jesus and Emil is to me right now, and yet they still don't believe. Because seeing isn't believing. Yet for all of those who saw, yet didn't believe, there is a group who believed without seeing. Thomas says, I'll believe it when I see Jesus with my own eyes. But there's a group who believed and never saw, or not never saw, but there's a group who believed before they even saw, who didn't see Jesus after he was resurrected, yet they still believed. Earlier in chapter 24, in verse 1, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, it wasn't the 12 who got up and went to the tomb. It was the women. The women who got up, took spices early in the morning that they had prepared and went to the tomb. Luke doesn't tell us what the women went expecting, whether they went expecting to find the resurrected Jesus. But the fact that they took spices would imply that they went expecting to find the corpse of Jesus still. Yet while the guys are still hiding, these women get up and go. And when they get to the tomb, they don't see Jesus. They don't even see a corpse. All they see is an empty tomb and some angels. Yet when the angels remind them of what Jesus said to them in verse 7, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. And we're told in verse 8 that then they remembered his words. The women still haven't seen, yet they believe. Not because they saw, because all they saw was an empty tomb and some linen and some angels. They haven't seen Jesus. They believe because they've always believed in Jesus. Remember, when Jesus was on the cross, the 12 disciples ran and hid. Peter denied knowing Jesus 3 times to a bunch of nobodies. Yet the women, these very same women, were the ones who were at the foot of the cross, weeping while their Savior was nailed to a cross. The men are hiding because they don't know what's going to happen, because they don't fully believe yet. But the women believe in Jesus already, that they are at the foot of the cross. They don't care what happens to them. They don't need to see to believe because they already believe. They believe the words that Jesus spoke to them before he died. And because they believed the words that Jesus spoke to them when the angel reminds them of those words, they don't need to see in order to believe that he's alive. An empty tomb and the angels at the tomb were more than enough for the women to believe. They don't need to see Jesus to believe it. Yet the guys are a completely different story. When the women tell the men, verse 11 tells us, but they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. See, these are men who want to believe. I tell my wife this all the time. Men are simple, very simple. You feed us, you do a few things, we're happy. See, all the guys are like, yes. The guys, they think that seeing is believing. They think that they need to see it because what the women say doesn't make sense. The women haven't seen anything, yet they believe. These two guys walking to Emmaus must have been among the men and women when the women came back and told them, because verse 23 and 24 says, they came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. See, their emphasis is all on seeing Jesus. They think that if they see him, they can believe him. If they see him with their eyes, they can believe that he's alive and they can believe and follow him. They want to see in order to believe. So they go running off to the tomb, hoping to get a glimpse with their very own eyes of the resurrected Lord so that they can believe. The testimony of the women is not enough. They thought they've got to see it to believe it. And once they see it, that would be more than enough for them to believe. Yet Cleopas and this other guy prove that sometimes seeing isn't always believing. They walked and talked with Jesus for a good chunk of time, within a few feet of him. Not only did they see him with their very own eyes, they heard him with their very own ears, yet they still don't believe. Because belief doesn't come from seeing. When I was younger, and this is going to date me because I know who's going to recognize this person, and all the young people are going to go, who, what? Isn't that a book? When I was younger, the big magician at the time was David Copperfield. And he did some crazy tricks. His biggest trick was marrying a supermodel because he wasn't a very good-looking guy. But the other big trick that I still remember, he made a jumbo jet disappear. He made the Statue of Liberty disappear. But then he walked through the Great Wall of China. I have no idea how he did it, but the camera was on, and it was behind like a curtain, but they showed him going into the wall on the one side, or a silhouette of him going into the wall on one side, and then on the other side, the silhouette of him coming out through the wall on the other side. And when they start, he's on this side of the wall, but then he comes out on this side of the wall. So it's behind a curtain, so you can't actually see him, but he somehow gets from this side of the wall to the other side of the wall. I saw it with my own eyes. But I know that there's no way he could have actually walked through that wall. We can't always trust our eyes. We can't always believe what we see. But like the Apostle Thomas, we so desperately want to see so that we can believe. We so desperately believe that if we see it, we will believe it. We so desperately think that seeing is believing. So we ask Jesus for a sign. We want God to show us that he loves us. We ask God to do something in our lives so that we can see it, so that we can believe that he's really there taking care of us. We want God to do something that we can see so that we can trust that God is listening to our prayers and he hears us and he loves us and will answer our prayers. So we tell God, I want to see a sign. I want to see a symbol. I want to see something so that I can believe you, Jesus. We ask for signs and we ask for wonders and miracles. We ask for something that we can see with our eyes, thinking that if we see it, we will believe it. Thomas did it. After Jesus appeared to the disciples, John 20:25 says that Thomas, who wasn't there, said, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Even after the witness of not just the women, but now the men who were just as reluctant as Thomas to believe until they saw, even after their witness, Thomas still wants to see it in order for him to believe. The thing is, we don't have to see in order to believe. We don't need miracles from God in order to believe that Jesus is alive or that Jesus loves us. We don't need to see in order to believe. We need to believe in order to see. We need to believe in order to see just how much Jesus actually does love us. We need to believe in order to see how God has been at work in our lives in ways that we didn't even recognize or notice. We need to believe in order to see that God has never left us or forsaken us. God has never turned his back on us. Even in times when we think life is horrible and life is so tough and we wonder where God is, we need to believe in order to see that God is right there with us in those times. We don't need a miracle to believe. We don't need to see to believe. We need to believe that Jesus is alive and that he loves us so that we can see that he is at work around us. We need to believe so that we can understand the miracle that God in the flesh would come down to earth. That does not make sense. That doesn't make sense in anywhere. It doesn't make sense that the most powerful being, the one who created heaven and earth by speaking, would come in the flesh to this earth. That does not make sense. But when we believe it, we can see it. We can understand it. It doesn't make sense that God in the flesh would take the punishment of the cross because he loves us. But when we believe it, it makes sense. We don't have to see to believe. We need to believe to see how God has been at work in our lives all along. To see how God has brought into our lives the amazing people he has brought into our lives, and often at just the right time. Often at just the right time to say and to do just the right thing when we need it the most. Because when we believe, we see God's hand at work in our lives. We need to believe in order to see the miracles happening all around us. Things that we brush off as coincidence or luck. But when we believe, we're able to see them for what they really are. God's miracles, God at work in our lives, because he loves us so much. It's not that God isn't working, it's that we don't recognize it. We don't recognize God at work because we want so badly to see before we believe. But if we believe, we can see so much more. Even for Cleopas and the other guy. I don't know what his name is. I keep calling the other guy. Even for those two, it wasn't until they believed that they actually saw. For the entire time that they're walking together, they saw Jesus, but they didn't believe him. They didn't believe. Then something happens in verse 30 that changes everything. Verse 30 and 31 says, when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. When Jesus broke the bread, they were reminded of Jesus. When Jesus broke the bread, that's when they realized, that's when they believed. When he broke the bread, they remembered the Jesus who broke the bread and fed 4,000 men plus women and children. When he broke the bread, they remembered the Jesus who broke and multiplied the bread and fed 5,000 men and women and plus women and children. And even if they themselves were not there at the Last Supper, they probably heard about Jesus breaking bread at the Last Supper. And when he broke the bread in front of them, they remembered and they believed. And it's when they remember and when they believe that their eyes were opened and they recognized him. For all the time they spent walking with him, seeing him, they don't recognize him. But when that bread is broken and they remember the Jesus they know and they love and follow, when they believe that it's him, that's when their eyes are open. And it's at that point they turn to each other and say in verse 32, were not our hearts burning within us while we talked with him on the road, while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? See, they knew something was going on. They knew something was different about Jesus. Their hearts were burning the entire time they're walking with Jesus. It tells us it's a 7-mile journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus. We don't know where Jesus meets them, but they're walking. It's got to be a fair amount of time they spent together. The entire time their hearts are burning within them. yet their eyes have failed them. Their hearts are burning, but because they want to trust their eyes, because they think they can believe their eyes, they don't trust their hearts on fire for him. And instead, they still want to see. They don't recognize Jesus until it's too late. They want to see to believe, yet even their hearts are telling them there's something going on. Yet instead of listening to their hearts on fire, they're trusting their eyes. And because their eyes, as far as they know, haven't seen Jesus yet, they're not willing to believe. Seeing isn't believing. It's believing that leads us to seeing. It's believing in God's promises and God's words that allow us to see God at work in our lives. It's believing that God loves us so much that he sent his only son to die for us. To die not just any death, but the worst of all deaths. To die on the cross for us. That allows us to see how God has had a hand in our lives. Because he does indeed love us so much. But maybe you're here today having a hard time believing. And you keep wanting to see so that you can believe. If that's you, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to go back over your life and write out your conversion story. I'm guessing if you're here at some point in time, you've encountered Christ. Unless you're here because your parents drag you and make you come. Then, I don't know, maybe you have, maybe you haven't. But I'm guessing if you're here, you're here because you want to be here because you've met Jesus somewhere along the way. So if you're having trouble believing because you're not seeing, I want to challenge you. Go back over the course of your life. Look through your life and see where God has been working in your life and what he's been doing. I had to do this for one of my assignments in seminary, and it came at just the right time. When I came out here for seminary, my faith really took a hit. I was learning stuff that seemed brand new to me, some of which was stuff that was very different from what I had been taught in church growing up. I was here in Vancouver in a foreign land of British Columbia compared to the rest of Canada. Far from family and friends in Ontario. And the material was entering my head, but it wasn't entering my heart. And I thought if I followed God into seminary, everything would be okay. Everything would be nice and easy. But it wasn't. And in the midst of this, one of the profs assigned this assignment to us. We had to write out our conversion story. He limited it to 25 pages, and I thought, I can write this in 5, and I'll be done. Woohoo! 5-page paper, and I'm done. He didn't say there's no lower limit. It was just maximum 25 pages. And when I started, expecting to be done in 5 pages, I wrote and I wrote and I wrote. I had to look back over my life. And as I look back over my life and saw all the times that God was working and all the ways that God was working and a lot of times in ways that I never recognized, my 5 pages ended up becoming 23 pages. And even though at that moment I didn't think God was there working in my life, I could see that through earlier parts of my life, I could see just how much his hand had been involved in my life. And I realized if God loved me that much in those other parts to get me to where I was at that point, there was no way that God would abandon me at that point. So even though at times it felt like God had abandoned me, even though it felt very tough and difficult to see God or to feel God or to sense God, looking back helped me put things into perspective. Looking back at what God had done in my life helped me through one of the toughest parts of my life, because that's when I realized, that's when I saw God at work. I believed that God had been at work through my life to get me to that point, and I could see how God had been working through my life to get me to that point. And so if you're at a point where you're saying, I want to see to believe, if you're at a point where you're having trouble believing because you're not seeing God in your life or you don't think you're seeing God in your life, go back. Go back and look through your life. And I'm willing to bet when you do that, you will see how God has been working in your life in ways that you never imagined. You will see people that God has brought into your life at times when you needed someone to be there with you. You will see or remember people who said things to you at just the right time when they had absolutely no idea you needed to hear that. And as you look back and think through, you will see how God has been working through your life. And I hope you realize, if you see and realize that God has been working through your life all of this time up to this point, how foolish it is to think that God would all of a sudden abandon us and turn away from us and walk away. Because if God has put that much time and effort into our lives, but more so, if God sent his only son to die on the cross for us, why would he dare turn away from us? Just because we don't think he's there doesn't mean he's not there. He is there. But sometimes we need that reminder. Sometimes we need to look back and be reminded, this is how God had worked in my life to this point. To be reminded that God is still at work in our lives. So if you're at that point where you're struggling and saying, I need to see to believe, take a look back at your life. Take a look back at what God has done in the past. And I am convinced that will help you continue to remain strong in the present and continue on in the future. I imagine that this walk for Cleopas and the other guy was a walk that the two of them never forgot. I imagine this walk was probably that moment the two of them would turn to if they ever doubted or worried. And I imagine that any time they doubted or questioned or anybody questioned them, they would turn to the moment that the resurrected Lord appeared to them, walked with them, and talked with them, yet because of their stubbornness or their foolishness or their cold hearts, they didn't recognize him, even though their eyes saw him. And they would turn to that moment that their eyes failed them and their eyes were not reliable, and they would cling to this encounter. And maybe you need to do that as well. To remember back to a time when you knew God was so real and true and evident in your life that in the darkest times, in the most difficult times, you can trust and believe in God's goodness. Because you know that he was there then, and you know that he's not going to leave you now. So no matter what our future holds, no matter what may lay ahead, and we don't know what may lay ahead, we can all be confident that God is with us. That God who has sent his only son to die for us, that God who has been with us, taking care of us, leading us in our lives to this point, will not turn his back on us, will not leave us and wander away because we don't feel him. No matter what life holds for us, no matter what happens in the future, we can be confident God is with us. That we don't need to see to believe, but when we believe, we can see God at work in our lives. Let's pray. Lord, sometimes we're so stubborn. We think that if we see a sign from you, if we see something, that we will believe. Yet you show us how our eyes fail us. The eyes of Cleopas and the other guy failed them. So Lord, help us to believe so that we may see. Help us to stop thinking that we need to see in order to believe, and help us to believe that we may see how you are at work in our lives. Lord, help us to believe without seeing, to believe your word, to believe the words, your words in Scripture, to believe that you are alive, that you love us, that you are with us, that we may actually see how you are working in this world. Lord, help us to believe that we may see you and that we may know you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.